Civil defense officials in Cumberland have told newsmen that murder victims show evidence of having been partially devoured by their murderers. Partially devoured.
These creatures are nothing but pure motorized instinct.
It gets up and kills. The people it kills get up and kill.
Did you hear me when I told you they turned over our car?
Oh, hell, any good 5 men can do that.
That's my point. Only there's not going to be 5 or even 10. There's going to be 20, 30, maybe 100 of those things. And as soon as they know we're here, this place is going to be crawling with
Chief, if I were surrounded by 6 or 8 of these things, would I stand a chance with them?
Well, there's no problem. If you had a gun, shoot them in the head. That's a sure way to kill them. If you don't get yourself a club or a torch, beat them or burn them. They go up pretty easy.
The Survival Command Center at the Pentagon has disclosed that a ghoul can be killed by a shot in the head or a heavy blow to the skull. Kill the brain. And you kill the ghoul. Kill the brain, and you kill the ghoul. Kill the brain. Kill the brain.
Anyone
kill the brain, and you kill the ghoul.
Anyone 5 WMFO Medford.
In a world where the dead are returning to life, the word trouble loses as much of its meaning.
I've seen half a dozen guys get bitten by those things. None of them lasted more than 3 days.
So long as this situation remains, government spokesmen warn that dead bodies will continue to be transformed into the flesh-eating ghouls. All persons who die during this crisis, from whatever cause, will come back to life to seek human victims unless their bodies are first disposed of by cremation.
The power's off in the mainland now, in case you haven't heard. And all the shopping malls are closed.
They won't run out of food while we're still alive.
They have overrun us, you know. We're in the minority now. Something like 400,000 to 1, by my calculation.
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
I don't want to be walking
around
like that.
Kill the brain, and you kill the ghoul.
Zombies. They freak me out.
Kill the brain, and you kill the ghoul. It has been established that persons who have recently died have been returning to life and committing acts of murder.
I don't want him to do anything but drop them!
Well, apparently they're not inclined to do that.
The wave of murder which is sweeping the eastern third of the nation is being committed by creatures who feast upon the flesh of their victims.
Gets up and kills. The people it kills get up and kill. The people it kills get up and kill.
Kill the brain, and you kill the ghoul.
And there's no more room in hell.
people it kills get up and kill and kill and
kill the brain, and you kill the ghoul.
They won't run out of food while we're still alive.
There's no more room in hell.
So long as this situation remains, government spokesmen warn that dead bodies will continue to be transformed into the flesh-eating ghouls. Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
There's no more room in hell. The dead will walk here.
Good afternoon, Medford. WMFO 91.5 FM, Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Earle, one of the scariest DJs ever to come out of WMFO. And here's the other one, Derek Gary.
Holy cow, I'm in the studio. We're in the studio.
This is big news.
This is. When's the last time you were in here?
I did come in December.
Okay.
Masks.
Okay.
Mostly because I wanted to go to the pub down the street and buy myself a chicken sandwich.
There you go.
But I did come in and I did a show here right before Christmas. I believe it was a Christmas show.
Nice.
And ever since, I just went right back to my house and hid under the bed, put my mask on.
That's pretty much been my life for the last 2.5 years.
Yes.
Shea Spillane and I signed off in March in 2020.
Yep.
And she's in New Zealand now, and I'm here with you. So, hi.
Yeah. See, that's a good place to be.
Yeah.
In New Zealand,
yeah.
Actually. A good horror person comes from there, Peter Jackson.
And they've got, I think they're COVID-free over there.
They're COVID-free over there,
yeah.
New Zealand?
Yeah, they kick you off the island if you got COVID.
Yeah.
This is just like you can't be here anymore.
We have to explain what this is. This is a real horror show.
It is.
Real horror show with Derek, Gary, and Chris Searle. We're going to do this, hopefully, for 15 weeks. We're going to go right through Halloween. And I think the weird part's going to be trying to think of some things to say that are really horrible in between Halloween and Thanksgiving, because there's plenty of horror stuff for Christmas, we know.
Yeah, we could just talk about family between Halloween and Thanksgiving.
That's scary.
That brings up
a big discussion there that I want to talk about this morning this afternoon. When is this? It's 5 o'clock. I've already been up for hours. How many hours have you been up
afternoon
today? At least
drive.
12.
So,
that's horrible. That's a horror thing.
I don't want to go too deep into this.
Yeah.
But my wife's 40th birthday was over the weekend.
Yes. And happy birthday to Molly.
Happy birthday, Molly. You were at the house. You know, I put up a 20 by 20 tent.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this huge party.
Mm-hmm.
So Sunday, I took down the 20 by 20 tent and put away, you know, everything from the huge party. And of course, there was every night last week was getting ready for the party.
Yeah.
So Monday night, you and I went and saw Pet Shop Boys, New Order. Great show.
Great show. Yeah.
Tuesday night, 10 o'clock, I was done. Like, last night at 10 o'clock, I was, like, done. I was out cold.
Yeah.
So I crawl into bed, fall asleep.
Yeah.
At 5:30 this morning, my son has a nightmare and starts screaming.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, my God, no.
No.
And so I go in to comfort him, and he's, you know, he does this thing where he, like, points. You know, if he doesn't quite know what to say, he points and makes noise. So I put him down. He walks into the bedroom, and Molly is immediately like, oh, come in bed. And I'm like, I so don't want this kid in bed with us right now.
Yeah.
And sure enough, like, 20 minutes later, he's like, wah, wah, and he's crawling, jumping around and wanting to play.
Did you put him outside?
Put him back in his crib and cried for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then went to sleep. And I'm like, I need sleep. I desperately, desperately need sleep.
Yeah. You guys are doing pretty good with Bobby, though. I think he's he sleeps through the night, you said, right?
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
What happened with him this morning was very, very rare.
Yeah.
You know, it's not rare for him to like cry out in the middle of the night because he's having a bad dream or something. All kids do that.
Right.
But for him to wake up and cry like that, this is only, I think, the second time that he's done it in 2.5 years.
I just thought of a new segment for us for a weekly. It's Everyday Horrors.
Ugh.
Like putting up a tent for a party or having your kid wake you up in the middle of the night.
Opening
Everyday Horrors.
Opening the diaper. It's always, you know, there may be something very, very scary. Very scary.
Opening the diaper.
Lurking in there.
Yeah.
So we're doing a show about horror, and because we're both big horror fans.
We are big horror fans, mostly movie horror stuff, but we will talk about other horrible things.
Yeah, I got a degree in film,
yes,
for what that's worth.
I did too. I got a certificate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're like, we're
certifiable.
We're actual authorities on this.
We are actual authorities on this.
We actually know a thing or two about film how film's made.
We've got some big brains, and we also have about, 29 years of experience here at WMFO combined.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I go back to 2005, Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
The week after Hurricane Katrina was my first show.
Yeah, I was doing a number of guest spots, and then my first official show, alone, solo, was in 2008, very beginning of 2008. Yeah, so a lot of experience.
You did a lot of those guest spots with myself and Mr. Day in the day.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I was thinking the everyday horrors. How about the parking here at Tufts? How about the parking? What happened with the parking?
Now, what's the story? There's no kiosk in this area, like near the building. So is that free?
No, it's like a pay by phone. Like I literally put out cash. Okay, I put out money. Now, when in 2022, how all of a sudden is money not acceptable anywhere?
Yeah, no one.
I tried putting quarters in. They wouldn't even go in the machine.
Oh, the one down the street near where I'm parked.
It just took them?
Only takes quarters. It doesn't work with your credit
and
card.
And it registered? Yeah.
Yeah. It's only taking pay by phone. And it's like, well, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, I was there. I had to be there at least 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I knew to get here early just in case. It used to be free.
It used to be free.
These are one of the horrible things of life. This is a real horror. This is an everyday horror.
I think it expires at 6.
Yeah.
But this is the terror that you live with, is that we're going to go downstairs and there's going to be a ticket on the car.
Oh, no. I paid $1.69. And I made sure I got it right up to the minute.
I paid it up to 7 o'clock. So I think I'm good.
I think you're good,
too. I hope I'm good. I have no idea.
I hope so, too.
I have no idea.
One of the horrible things the last 2 years, and we have to talk about this. And what's interesting is most people aren't talking about this anymore. Like, we went to the Pet Shop Boys New Order. Interestingly enough, they didn't really talk about the Queen, but the other thing that never came up at that show, COVID.
Yeah.
Well, people are not talking about COVID anymore.
What are you going to do?
They're sick of it.
Like, thanks for braving the pandemic to come see us.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
There, I saw maybe 20 people wearing masks.
Yeah.
The whole out of, maybe there were 2,000 people there.
Yeah.
I think that's, how many did they get in that? I think it's about 2,000 people fit in that thing.
Oh, I'd say more than that. I'd say probably 10,000 people.
I don't think it's that big.
Yeah. Let me look this up. That pavilion?
Yeah.
The Boston Pavilion? Well, what is it called now? It's called Leader Bank.
Yeah. It's they change the name every year. Last Refuge of a Scoundrel.
Yeah. Leader Bank Pavilion. I got a senior
5,000.
Oh, $5,000.
So, if we're averaging it out, I was closer.
Mm-hmm.
I saw maybe 20 people wearing masks. It's an outdoor venue. I saw one guy put on a mask to go in the bathroom, and he took it off as soon as he got back outside.
Yeah, did he use it to wipe?
Possibly.
Yep.
It's probably more sanitary than touching anything in that bathroom.
Yeah.
But everybody's all of a sudden. Like, roundabout, I want to say the start of July, the end of June, the start of July, suddenly all the masks came off and everybody was just like, yep, we're done.
Yeah, let's barbecue.
You know?
And guess when I got the COVID? In July.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still have
came
not.
Came right to the house.
I still haven't had it.
No, I know. You're lucky.
And
you might have had it. Who knows?
I haven't had it since we've had tests around. So I can state with some certainty that I haven't had it in the past year.
Yeah.
And before that, like, we never went out, so I'm pretty sure I didn't get it.
Yeah. A lot of people, they get the coughs and the trots. Not me. I got, like, just muscle spasms, like super strong Charlie horses, and it just felt like an itching in the center of my head, which was almost like your brain is itchy.
Yikes.
That's how I kind of felt.
Yeah, are you thinking something's, growing in there, maybe going to burst out?
I got some brains, yes, and my antennae popped out of my head.
Maybe something's going to crawl out of my ear in the middle of the night, and this will go away?
Yeah. That'd be a horrible thing. How about that's a whole different subgenre of horror in itself. Movies where things invade you.
Laid its eggs in my ear canal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Chekhov and Wrath of Khan. Yeah. We're gonna have to do that's a science fiction movie, but that's a very horrible horror movie, in that sense, where this thing is invading his ear.
Yeah.
It's like one of the worst things I think I've ever seen on screen. Poor Chekhov.
I remember when I was a little kid,
yeah,
reading one of those EC comics, horror comics.
Yeah.
And the story was about this bug that, like, flew in, flew up your nose, and laid its eggs in your brain, and then flew off again.
I'll tell you, that's horror right there.
I was like, I was scared to death for a month.
I'm scared now.
You know, I'm like, there's bugs. I can't be around bugs. Yeah. It's going to climb up my nose.
I guarantee I'll be having a nightmare tonight. I'll be calling Bobby up. He's going to be awake, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's not allowed to use the phone yet.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So, just briefly, COVID movies. Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman, not considered a horror movie. However, a horror movie to me.
I always liked, you know what the funny thing is? I made a point of watching Outbreak like a year, because when it first started, like those first few months, legitimately scary.
Oh, yes.
Because like nobody knew what was going on, and everybody's like,
with Italy, it looked like we're all going to die.
Yeah, we're all going to die of this. And I actually had a moment where I was like, I don't know if I can watch horror movies anymore.
Oh.
So I had to switch to Poliziotteschi.
Yeah.
And, you know, just watch Italians shoot each other, you know, cops and robbers.
You mean you didn't watch the one with the lion guy, the Tiger King?
No.
Oh.
No, no.
It was great.
But as this thing went on and we started to understand what it was like, okay, we can watch horror movies again. Mm. So I made a point of watching Outbreak one night.
Yeah.
And it's a terrible movie.
No, I don't think so. I think it's a good movie.
It's, you know what it is? If you sit there and watch it, and especially the parts where you see like the virus spreading.
You got Patrick Dempsey bleeding from his eyes.
I know.
Right there, that's a letter grade.
I know, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
Other than like the opening shot of the movie and the tacked on helicopter chase at the end.
Yeah, the Dustin Hoffman as action hero doesn't work.
The entire movie, everything that's in between that, is a TV disaster movie of the week. And it's a TV movie.
I can see that. I can see that.
It's written like a TV movie. Yeah. It's shot like a TV movie. Mm. It feels like a TV movie.
All right.
Somebody got Dustin Hoffman in a budget.
Yeah, I didn't think Dustin Hoffman was good as the lead in the action hero.
He's much better in Sphere.
Yeah.
Like, Sphere is a good, like, Dustin Hoffman, like, science scary movie.
Sure, sure.
Outbreak is just like, it's fun, it's entertaining, but it's very, very predictable in everything that happens, and it's clear that it's one of those movies that started as one thing, and somebody got Dustin Hoffman or someone to show interest in it, and suddenly it's like, put some money behind this, we're going to make it into a big deal.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Plus, they had like Morgan Freeman's in it, too.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of good names.
And the monkey from Friends.
Yeah.
There's no way they're getting that monkey. They're not getting that monkey unless Dustin Hoffman signed on.
That's right.
And there's some real money.
Yeah. That monkey was in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Contagion?
What?
That's a better movie.
That's an accurate movie.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Again, not a horror movie, a thriller, but a very horror theme to it, which is we're all going to die.
Yeah. It's a horror movie when you sit there and look at Jude Law and you're like, that's the guy that I keep seeing on social media every 5 minutes posting about how it's a hoax.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Those are only the only two that I can think of, other than, of course, The Fast Zombie, the Dawn of the Dead remake. That is an actual pandemic too, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, all of your Romero zombie movies are pandemic films.
Was World War Z pandemic?
Yeah, World War Z is pandemic.
Yeah. So that's why everybody's like, we're going to have zombies soon.
Yeah, and it's interesting.
That's where the link was.
I kind of expected that people would sort of tune out of zombie movies because it's too close to home and all this.
Yeah.
And it didn't really happen. Everybody still loves zombie movies. I still love zombie movies.
Yeah, I do too. I think Walking Dead went downhill and we're still waiting for that movie with Rick that's never going to come.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody's going to care. It's going to be like the Sopranos movie. It comes out, it's like, yeah, nobody cares.
But that's bad management and bad, you know, bad storytelling and bad network and a lot of bad, basically. Greg Nicotero can only fix so many things at once.
Yeah.
You know.
So let's do it. Let's do a pandemic. I'm going to give you five pandemic movies.
Okay.
Tell me which ones you think people should see if they haven't, all right? So we already mentioned, Outbreak, which I'm assuming you're giving the big thumbs down.
I give it a thumbs up, but understand going into it that it's a TV movie.
Yeah,
you like it.
I do.
I I will say the opening special effects sequence where they show like the fuel air bomb.
Yeah.
That's a real bomb, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
That thing really exists.
Cool. Yeah.
Where they show you what it does.
Yeah.
Is pretty impressive.
Yeah. And it takes out the village and just sucks it all right back in so it can't, so it's contained.
But then it immediately becomes a TV movie. Yeah. And somewhere in all of this, like Dustin Hoffman is in a helicopter, like flying to save the world.
You do get to see him jump about 6 feet into the helicopter.
Yes.
And it's clearly not Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah.
It's just somebody in a jacket.
But it's
I'm a short guy in a jacket.
It's fun. The thing about that movie, the main reason I would recommend somebody see that movie now is because it always was silly.
Yeah.
Now that we've lived through the actual pandemic, you can see how silly it really is.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah. I'm almost thinking at this point, people are so shut off with this stuff that nobody's going to want to watch it anyway. But just to throw it out there, because we're catching up over the last 2 years, we got to catch up and talk about the horror of life for us the last 2 years.
It's pandemic high camp.
Yeah.
And you really can't, you know, Rene Russo.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I like Rene Russo.
Yeah, that whole bit with her in the film where, it's, you know, she's dying and, you know, the sadness and all her, you know, people in suits hovering over her. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah. How about World War Z? That was considered a pandemic one.
I like it.
I would say see Outbreak before World War Z. I didn't really like World War Z. Too much CGI for me.
The thing about World War Z is it's kind of a zombie movie. It's not really a zombie movie, and it's kind of a pandemic movie. It's not really
not a scary movie.
It's not a scary movie. It's an action film.
Yeah.
And it's action piece after action piece after action piece. And it feels a lot like one of those Roland Emmerich disaster movies, like Independence Day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, only this one never slows down to take a breath.
Right. Yeah, and I thought there was a cop-out at the end with Brad Pitt. I'm not going to spoil it, but...
I like the first 20 minutes of that movie when it's setting up what's happening.
Yeah.
I think that's about as effective as any movie I've seen in creating that moment.
Yeah.
Where, you know, life goes from normal to, oh my God, we've got to run or we're going to die. After that, it gets a little tedious for me.
Yeah. I'm going to move on to a movie that I think the first two-thirds are phenomenal and the ending's lousy, which is with Will Smith, I Am Legend.
I love I Am Legend.
Yeah, which is a remake of The Omega Man, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I Am Legend, first two-thirds of that movie to me is great. As soon as the family shows up, it goes downhill for me.
The whole thing works for me. I dearly love that film. There is a major tone change that happens once the woman and the kids show up.
Yeah.
That it's kind of like, okay, now we're going over here. But I think Will Smith is very strong in that film. I love the premise of it. The ghost town New York is incredible.
Amazing.
There's just so many things about it.
And there's some scary moments in that.
There's some very scary stuff in that.
Yeah, really scary.
Yeah.
Just the part with the lion in the beginning, he's not really sure what it is, and all of a sudden it's a lion in the middle of New York City.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even if they stole that from 12 Monkeys, it's still effective.
True. I was going to bring that one up. What do you think about 12 Monkeys?
12 Monkeys is probably closer to the reality of pandemic than anything because you've got the people in the bunker trying to figure out how to get past the whole thing.
Yeah.
And everybody else is dead.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is more of a thriller, too. More of a weird thriller, the Terry Gilliam, you know, movie. Pretty much his biggest budget movie, right? Was 12. Oh, no, it was a lower budget than Baron Munchausen was his biggest budget, but it was a flop.
Yeah.
So then they never gave him any money again.
No, they gave him money. Fisher King cost money. 12 Monkeys cost money. But 12 Monkeys was like a $15 million movie, whereas Munchausen had been 50.
Right, right.
And it's like, we're not giving you all this money for special effects anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those are some ideas.
Recently
I Am Legend.
Recently released on Contagion, 4K, definitely. By the way, 12 Monkeys.
Really?
Yes.
Anything special on there?
I want to say one of my beloved boutique labels put this out.
Mm-hmm.
12 Monkeys. And which one of it was? Oh, it's an Arrow. It's an Arrow video, which means that it's full of needless tchotchkes.
That's the distribution company?
Yeah, Arrow Video. You guys are going to get to know all of the boutique distributors if you tune in every week, because I collect all of this stuff and I'm super plugged into it.
Mm-hmm.
Arrow Video does really, really good disc releases, but they were acquired by Zavvi 2 years ago.
Zavvi?
Yeah. Zavvi is this online, like, fan-based marketplace, and they're trying to be just sort of a general online pop culture supplier now.
Is that like Savvy, but with a Z?
Basically.
Yeah.
And ever since they came along, every Arrow video release now comes in a Super Collector Special Edition with a bunch of paper stuff that falls on the floor when you open the package.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
And you pay an extra $30 for the privilege of having this stuff.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
I used to do that. I don't do it as much anymore. My budget's a little slimmer.
So, anyway, they did put out a 4K of this. Other than the... There's a new restoration approved by Terry Gilliam. We always take that with a grain of salt if we know what we're doing, because a lot of them are just not really.
Mm-hmm.
And a lossless DTS 5.1 and 2.0. That's the original stereo soundtracks. So if you want the original soundtrack and the best quality film version of this, the Arrow video is the way to go. Everything else on it has been released someplace else.
Yeah. See, I'm a fan of the soundtrack being included with the film. I like that. You know, for me, that's like a cherry on top. You want to see the film, and then you get to listen to the soundtrack on its own. It's pretty good. Because what I wanted to do is do like a soundtrack of the week. Like today, I picked another film that just got re-released on 4K and Blu-ray, I believe, is The Lost Boys. So I'm going to play some songs from that when we take our breaks.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that release a little later. We're going to talk about that and Poltergeist.
Ooh.
And why you probably shouldn't buy the Friday the 13th 4K that Paramount just dropped.
This is the Friday the 13th very first.
The very first one.
1980.
Great.
Friday the 13th.
Great, great movie.
Yeah.
Tom Savini.
I like him.
Right?
Yeah.
I shouldn't need to say anything more than Tom Savini to get someone to go buy a horror movie.
Yeah.
Because Tom Savini's stuff is on a different level than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But this disc has got problems.
It has problems.
It has problems.
All right. Well, stay tuned for that. It is Real Horror Show with Chris Earl and Derek Gary. We are here with you until 7 p.m. I think the next segment we're going to talk about is how we got into horror as kids. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a little Monster Mash to get ready for that as we take our first little break here. Stick around. It's WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts, Real Horror Show.
My monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun.
In a shoebox.
The party had just begun.
In a shoebox.
The guests included Wolfman,
in a shoebox,
Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said,
whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's a
a horn and a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Drax a part of the band. And my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Gordy sent
you. Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Wake up and text. Text and eat.
If I could have a heart to heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart to heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about
cutting and burning.
I'd probably talk about
cutting and burning.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school.
Cutting and burning.
Clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart to heart with my dad.
If it were real heart to heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
Just listen and be supportive.
Probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart to heart. I just want to talk.
Cutting and burning in my life made the pain that was going on in my mind real.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Carrie intentionally burned her arms with a curling iron.
Cutting and burning in my life made the pain that was going on in my mind real.
She got help and tries to help others.
Just listen and be supportive, but also don't enable the person to feel sorry for themselves and to keep going downhill. Try to stay away from that by encouraging them. How can you go forward? What do you need to do to make something positive out of this?
Who needs you to be supportive? From the Mennonite Churches and Faith and Values Media.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I could make anything positive out of cutting and burning. It's tough.
Tricky.
That's a tall order, at least for me. Yeah. A little Scooby-Doo in the background.
Nice.
I thought we could have a segment, what are your earliest memories of horror and monsters? For me, it was probably Harry on Sesame Street. Remember the blue monster? That was probably the first monster I remember. Because I was thinking, you know, Scooby-Doo and stuff, but Harry was really the first monster, I think.
Yeah.
That and The Wizard of Oz for me, the witch. And the witch scared the hell out of me. She really did.
See, I never got scared by that movie.
Really?
Yeah.
When did you first see it, though?
I saw it when I was a little kid. I saw it, the one that scared me.
Yeah.
Was not, because I looked at witches and I looked at monsters and all that stuff, and I was like, that's not real. The one that scared me when I was a little kid was The Child Catcher in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. That guy with the big nose who could smell kids.
Oh, yeah?
That guy scared the hell out of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, that didn't do that for me. That's interesting. That's interesting.
So that was probably like one of my first experiences with being terrified.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, what did you ever have nightmares from watching movies or TV?
Yes.
When okay,
yeah, oh yeah.
What set it off?
The Wizard of Oz, the witch,
the witch.
Yeah.
Just the witch or the flying monkeys and the witch?
No, not the monkeys. And
just
not
the witch.
Talking trees, which were both pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
But no, the witch. The witch. It was recurring nightmares for me as a kid.
Oh
witch.
Wow.
Yeah. Like the story continued throughout the years.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. It was pretty scary.
So, when I was 7 years old, 1976.
Yeah.
I begged and begged and begged to go see Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
Jaws had been re-released that summer.
Yep.
And the trailers are on all the time on TV. And I'm like, I gotta see this movie. It's like the shark and it's scary and everybody's saying it's great. And I pressured my parents and I pressured my parents and I pressured my parents. And my mother was like, No, you're not seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I talked my dad into taking me to see it. And my mother was like, you're dealing with him if he has nightmares.
And
my
dad is Jaws, and this is on a re-release of Jaws.
But this is the first time around. You know, this is the first re-release in the summer 76.
Sure.
So I saw Jaws. I was like, yay, shark movie. And I loved it. And I was like, okay, that was great. Never had a single nightmare.
Hmm.
The thing that gave me the nightmares was this stupid TV movie called The Beasts Are in the Streets.
The Beasts Are in the Streets.
It was like a Saturday night NBC or CBS movie of the week. Mm-hmm. And basically, there's a power outage in California, and all the animals in the, I guess it's the San Diego Zoo, like get loose and they're running through Los Angeles.
The Beasts Are in the Streets.
So people have got like giraffes and lions in their backyards.
Yeah, this is 1978. Full movie is available out there. Yeah.
That gave me nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
That I woke up screaming in the middle of the night because the giraffes and elephants were coming together.
Really?
Yeah. Jaws, no problem. Beasts Are in the Street, problem.
All right. I found a clip of it. We'll have to play that in a moment. The Beasts Are in the Street.
I may have to leave the room if that comes on. I can say that right now.
Can you hear the Scooby in the background? We got a little Scooby chase going on. Let me see if I can play this. The Beasts Are on the Street. Tell me if this is what terrified Derek as a child in 1978. Here it comes. The Beasts Are on the Streets.
Come here. Who is this? Oh, you're beautiful.
Two people with a lamb.
Oh, yeah. Because I always start out with the nice animals.
Right, there's a flammable truck of gas going through the streets. And there's an angry trucker behind. Here, let me show you what's going on here, Derek. See if this brings back any memories. The trucker can't see for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
There he goes. All right. Yeah, he's going off the road. I'm assuming he's going to go into the animals.
He's going into the zoo.
So is this what terrified you? Or later?
No, later.
So this is the straw that breaks the camel's back. So it's like, oh my God. Wow, this is pretty terrifying. You saw this as a kid, yeah?
He's taking out all the fences.
He's taking out every single fence. Wow. I kind of like that visual effect there. All of a sudden, some blood on a windshield. All right, the gas has been turned over. Zebras and ostriches are flying away.
Now we're in the stuff that was like freaking me out. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Gasoline truck has exploded. The beasts are now, they are officially on the streets. And now a car narrowly missed the ostrich. A GTO turns sideways, gets hit by another car. A station wagon gets hit. What's that, a Nova? Oh, my God. That's some serious car accidents.
Yeah.
This was a G movie?
This was on TV.
Oh, it was a TV movie.
This was like a Saturday night, like turn on your TV and
there goes a buffalo.
The beasts are in the streets.
The beasts are in the streets right now. And this is only a minute into the movie. They're 2 minutes into the movie. At least this clip, and this is terrifying. You're right. I can see where it would have got you. You're around seven at this point?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a camel. Camel's just looking around. Somehow that beast didn't make it to the street. All right, two people get in a pickup. They got to be the heroes because you have to have two people in a pickup. Boy and a girl. Yep. Yep, boy and a girl.
All we know for sure is that some fences are down in the feeding area along 417.
Okay, get a repair crew out there.
The fences are down.
The big cats fed?
No, Kev, none of them.
Okay, get the food trucks out.
Check. Eddie, Rick.
Wow, look at that. What's he got? Some meat in the back of his?
He got a lot of meat in the back of that Ford.
He got like two giant legs of meat.
That's like a whole side of beef. Those camels are going to go crazy for that meat.
Why do they have bison and buffalo? Zoo is this? I've been to the San Diego Zoo. They don't have like 200 buffalo.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with any of this.
Oh, they even got a copter in there quick.
The animals are dangerous. Stay in your car.
They're not dangerous, though. I didn't see one dangerous animal.
The animals are dangerous.
Zebras are jerks.
What are they going to do? The dog will protect them. Oh, it's a black bear.
Yeah.
Wow. No,
I think that was
terrifying.
I think that was a panther, actually.
That was a panther?
Yeah.
Let me rewind. That is.
Is that a panther?
Yeah, the dog is attacking.
Yeah, that's panther.
Oh, yeah, that is a panther.
Yeah.
Wow.
Panthers have scared me ever since I saw that
legit movie.
Yeah.
That's legit. I can't sell you on The Wicked Witch of the West, but I mean, that's legit.
No, but I mean,
Wicked Witch of the West scared the bejesus out of me.
See, the thing that was scary to me about that movie is that everything that happens in it is plausible. You know?
Yeah.
Other than like,
especially to a 7-year-old.
Yeah, it's like you get 7 years old. You're like, the animals are coming. Yeah. The animals are coming. Yeah.
Now, see, I believed in witches too. So, Wizard of Oz was plausible to me. I thought Munchkinland existed and Lollipop Kids.
See, you did as well. But I grew up in the era of Casper reruns on Channel 56 in the afternoon.
I don't know. I never liked Casper.
I never liked Casper either. But he was on. And so it was like, there's Casper and Wendy all the time, and it's like, they're not scary.
I don't need it. Well, it was the friendly ghost.
Yeah.
Casper the Friendly Ghost. It was in his title.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man. I never liked Casper the Friendly Ghost. He was just, every time he came on, and the only thing, he had the bouncing ball lyrics. Remember every episode had a bouncing ball song?
Yep.
I mean, what kind of ghost wants to sing you a song?
Yeah.
You know, they moan. They'll rattle some chains. They won't sing a song. But Casper the Friendly Ghost. Let's think of some other ones early on. I'll tell you the ones that got me. And it wasn't even from seeing the films, because I wanted to talk a little bit about Universal and their whole great selection you know, of monster movies. They had The Mummy, they had Frankenstein, they had Dracula, Creature from the Black Lagoon. What else they have in there? Invisible Man, great, great movie. Not necessarily a horror movie, but Invisible Man, great movie. The Wolfman. So I remember as a kid, just from cartoons and stuff, and just watching, you know, Saturday morning cartoons with all these characters, I made a little book, and I was about, I think I was about 5-6 years old, and it was called All Your Monsters.
Hmm.
And it was All Your Monsters by Chris Earle. I already had put my title in there, like how I do with most of my things. I always go with Chris Earle, by Chris Earle, so everybody knows the name, right? So I was onto that early.
Personal branding.
That little personal branding.
That's important.
And it's worked so well for me.
That's critical. Everybody knows, well, that's Chris Earle.
Yeah. So it was All Your Monsters with Chris Earle. First one, okay, and my favorite out of those, Frankenstein.
Mm.
First page, boom, there's Frankenstein. What was interesting about Frankenstein when I looked at it years later, I took this and it was a little spiral notepad. Not like even one of the big ones. It was one of those little small, like 3x5 index card size.
Yep.
So I took a whole little pages and then I did them in pencil and I did Frankenstein. Frankenstein, big rectangle block chest, right? And what was interesting is he had shoelaces.
Nice.
He had the big shoes, but he had shoelaces. And for some reason, the Wolfman and Dracula also have shoelaces in their picture. But so I had the first one with Frankenstein. He was just sitting there and looking intimidating. The next page had a werewolf, and the werewolf is like howling at the moon. And then I had Dracula in there. I remember I added a haunted house.
Nice.
Right? And then All Your Monsters, haunted house. I did cobwebs. I did ghosts, of course, just the generic ghost with the two black eyes and the black mouth, you know, saying woo. And yeah, I don't think I had anything beyond that. I had The Mummy in there. And then I saw this. I found it years later. And then during my stand-up years, about 10, 15 years ago, I said, if I wrote that book now, it'd be like All Your Monsters, and they would include family members.
Yes.
Like
mother-in-law.
Yes. Yeah. Mother-in-law, the wicked stepsister, the wicked stepmother.
Sister-in-law.
Yeah. I don't want to name names, but they know who they are. They'd be in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was one of the first things for me. And I thought it was kind of interesting being like 5-6 years old and actually seeing, going back years earlier and knowing that I knew all these monsters from somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, where did I learn all those things? I definitely wasn't watching the movies at that point.
I have a pretty good memory, as you know, of a lot of things from my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the extent that I can connect some things, but I couldn't tell you, like, why it was that ghosts didn't scare me and monsters didn't scare me or any of that kind of stuff, but animals did.
Yeah.
You know? And it's always sort of been the thing with me.
Did you have a bad experience with a dog or a cat?
No more so than any other kid does. You know, it's like, no.
Panther?
No. Well, panther. I mean, that movie. They used to have a panther at the Stone Zoo.
Yeah.
That would just pace back and forth all day long trying to figure out how to eat the kids.
I remember that panther, yeah.
And it's like, I'd stand in front of that panther and I'd remember that movie and I'd be scared to death that panther was going to get out and I'd have to leave.
Yeah.
But when I was like 10, I think was when it came out, 9 or 10,
mm-hmm.
I once again begged my dad, I got to see this movie. And we used to go to movies every now and again.
Yeah.
And this continued into my my preteen and teen years. I got to see this movie. And it was a little movie called Alien.
Oh, that's a big one.
So Dad took 9-year-old Derek to see Alien.
That's a big one, yep.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yay. Like, chest burster thing happens. And I'm like, yeah. You know, it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And we're walking out of the movie afterward, and my father was like, that was a little intense for a PG movie. And I'm like, Dad, that movie was rated R.
Yeah.
And he's like, do not tell your mother about this.
Yep, yep. Yeah, see, that's a great early memory there. My first big horror movie was Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, yeah.
And that was 78, I believe. So I was around the same age. I was around 7. And I thought that part at the end is one of the best endings of all time. I mean, talk about evil winning. Yeah, it's like all hope is lost at the end of the Invasion of the Body Snatchers yep. remake. Much different than the 50s one. The 50s one is still great, but it's more of a political one, but still very spooky little movie. And very, very cool. Very cool movie.
But it was sort of, it was sort of a weird thing in the 70s where parents didn't really seem to mind taking their kids to see like these movies, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody went to see Jaws.
Yeah.
I was like, everybody went to see Jaws.
It's true.
And yeah. It's like, if your 5-year-old wants to go see Jaws, you took him to see Jaws. Everybody went to see King Kong.
Yeah.
And King Kong like ran across 2 nights on NBC. And there's some pretty scary stuff in that movie, too.
I think King Kong was part of was RKO, right? It wasn't part of Universal, right? King Kong?
The remake was...
yes.
I think the remake...
Paramount.
Yeah.
It was the
oh,
remake.
Was that Paramount?
Yeah, in the 70s with Jeff Bridges, yeah.
King Kong was RKO.
Yeah, yeah.
That scene where they're all on the... trying to walk across the fallen tree to get to the other side of the canyon, and King Kong is... turning the tree back and forth, and they're all falling off and dying.
Yeah,
that's a scary moment in that movie.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, 1933 in King Kong.
Yeah,
that's here's something that that just opens a huge can of worms. So we bring up King Kong. Think of all the things that we watched Saturday on Creature Double Feature.
Oh yeah,
I mean those were monster movies.
Yeah,
and as kids, I mean some of those were pretty terrifying, like Rodan with his like flying moth and Mothra,
yeah.
Mothra, and you know Godzilla and all of those. You know, there was some scary stuff in there. I remember hiding under the blankets during a few of those.
I always liked the Japanese kaiju movies much, much better. Of course, we didn't know they were called kaiju back then. We do now. I always liked those much better than, like, the cheapy American drive-in movies.
Right.
You know, but the Screaming Skull was the exception to that. That was one that I really liked.
Screaming Skull's a good movie, yeah. Yeah. Those were definitely... those were definitely scary to... young kids. I mean, I remember me and my brothers, my two older brothers, and my cousins, who are around the same age as me. We were all around, we were 6 boys, and we would go down to my grandparents, and we'd watch Creature Double Feature
yeah.
on Saturday. And we would, like, freak out sometimes and try to scare out. We'd try to scare each other, too. There was, like, these woods in the tracks, and we would wait until it would get dark. And it's like, who had the cojones? to walk as far back as they could to get to the tracks in the woods.
Nice.
You'd always get scared and run back. But
and then by 1982, everybody had cable.
Yeah.
And you could just turn on cable on a random afternoon and like The Shining is on, you know?
Yeah.
And to
The Movie Loft had some good horror movies
yeah, well,
on there too.
That was the thing. To
Hurst.
Keep up with cable.
Yeah.
And because they were actually one of the early superstations. They were running like Friday the 13th and Phantasm and The Exorcist uncut.
Yeah.
So on a random weeknight, you could turn on the TV and boom, here's The Exorcist. Here's Friday the 13th with all the blood and guts in it.
That's right.
And it's like, kids are watching this. No one cares.
I remember seeing Friday the 13th the first time on the Movie Loft. And
yeah.
It was uncut. I remember Dana Hersey came on and he was saying we're going to have Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And I remember watching and I'm like, wow, this is awesome.
I'm pretty sure that's the first time that I saw Friday the 13th as well, because the first one I saw in the theater was Friday the 13th Part 3.
Mm-hmm.
I was 13. That came out in 83. I might have been 14 when that came out. I was 13 or 14.
Yep.
And my friend and I and another friend... convinced my friend Larry's mom to take us to see the movie. And it's like she knew full well. Like
yeah.
what she like bought us the tickets and left us in there.
Yeah.
She went and saw something else with my friend Larry's little sister.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I'm 14, they're 12, and we're sitting there like watching Friday the 13th on like a Wednesday afternoon.
Right.
You know? But
while
parents,
the teacher's out having a smoke.
Yeah.
Yep.
Parents were like, yeah, whatever, you know, because you turn on the 6 o'clock news,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, when I was growing up, that was your daily collection of Vietnam War atrocities.
Yeah.
You know, here's how we're losing the war today. Oh, here's the assassination attempt of President Reagan. Here's the assassination of Anwar Sadat. Here's some other assassination. Here's a bunch of people getting shot in a McDonald's.
Yeah, and, I think people were a little more numb to violence. That's when we were first getting really numb to violence.
It was blood and carnage everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, who's going to get upset about a horror movie?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And in a future week, we're going to talk about the decades and which one we think is the best for horror and how it was a little bit different in each decade.
Yeah.
Yeah. And time during and after Vietnam and those horror movies and some of those are just so insane.
It went the other way, and it went the other way hard after the 1980s. Yeah. Where it was just like, if you even thought of exposing a child to an R-rated movie, everybody was all over you. Like, what are you doing? You're wrecking the child. And it's like, no.
Yep. There is, I do have something from my 7-year-old nephew, just turned 7, and he said, I asked him what he thought were good scary books that he's reading.
Mm.
And he said, The Notebook of Doom. There's a complete Notebook of Doom books. There's 13 books. Rise of the Balloon Goons, Day of the Night Crawlers, Attack of the Shadow Smashers. It's an action-packed set that it's a guy that has a best-selling series called The Monster Notebooks. And each title features a person named Alexander Bopp and the rest of his super secret monster patrol as they battle the many monsters found in their monster notebook.
Mm.
He's been a big fan of these and have little activities. He's making like books and puzzles and stuff like that. It's very interesting.
That's cool.
And the other series that he was reading for kids is Eerie Elementary, a reading level of 3.5. So it's a scary school, and on his first day as a hall monitor, Sam Graves discovers his elementary school is alive and eerie. And I read a couple of these. They're pretty fun. So if you got a kid who's getting interested in monsters and horror, it's pretty cool. It's
nice.
Pretty safe, and it's pretty tame, and it's kind of fun. You know, and it's fun to see a kid get excited about things that are scary, too.
Yeah.
You know, there's something, I don't know if it's like one of our most primal, it's got to be one of the most primal emotions, just being afraid. And to be able to face your fear is something that everyone has to do, like all through life. I mean, you learn it from day one. you learn it coming out.
Well, I mean,
you know, it's like, I need to survive.
Yeah.
I need to get here.
Yeah, the thing about horror movies,
yep,
especially when we talk about mainstream horror movies like Friday the 13th or Amityville Horror or Lost Boys or any of that stuff, they're really not scary in a dangerous, bad way.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that those movies are successful is because they're scary in a fun way.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have. I've been around on the fringes of cinema long enough to have seen some stuff that is scary in a bad way.
Yes.
You know, that's just like, oh my God, what kind of sick individual makes this and thinks it's entertainment? Mm-hmm. We're talking about Friday the 13th. It's something else entirely.
Yeah.
You know, there's a certain, I always like to say that there's a very thin line between comedy and horror.
Yeah.
The setup is exactly the same. The difference is, in comedy, somebody gets a pie in the face, and in horror, somebody gets a knife in the face.
Right.
Other than that, they are almost identical twins.
Yeah.
And When I see people who are like, oh, I can't watch the gory stuff, and I can't watch horror, and I can't watch this, I can't watch that, it's like, what are you afraid of?
Right.
It's more a case, I think, of you've, and I know some people psychologically can't deal with it, and that's fine. That's okay. But I think a lot of people just build up this idea in their mind of what that experience is going to be.
Right, yeah.
And they psych themselves out of it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you sit down and watch it, and that was me as a kid. I wanted to see Jaws. I saw Jaws. It didn't scare me.
Yeah.
You know?
I think one of the things that's great about it is you're surviving like a little battle.
Yeah.
You're surviving. Am I scared? Can I deal with these, you know, demons and the things before me? Think of Jaws, you know? It's like we were talking about Jaws a little bit. Not really a horror movie, but the first half of it certainly is.
Yeah.
You know, and then the end of it, that release when the shark gets blown up and everybody in the theater cheers. And you still watch it now and you're like, this is awesome. You know, and it's like they confronted their fears and, you know, unfortunately, one man down.
Yeah.
Two get to swim to shore.
And that scene
roll the credits.
That scene of Quint getting eaten is still today, as brutal as it was.
Yeah, and that was a PG movie.
Yeah. I know. That's the other thing. It's like, that was PG. You could take your kids
to
see
that.
It's
hard to watch, yeah.
Did you ever almost walk out of something?
No. No. I've turned off DVDs at home.
Right.
But actually walking out of a theater, I've never done. I always wait until the end. I always wait till the end,
so you never
even
got
if
so,
I don't like it.
You never got, well, I'm thinking scared. Like, you never got so scared that you were like, I got to go. I can't do this.
No.
Happened to me once.
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Really?
Yeah.
Which scene?
The second Nancy dream sequence.
Yeah.
Which is the big long one where he's walking out from behind the tree.
Oh, I love that.
When it got to the point where she was running up the stairs and her feet were going into the stairs and Freddie was coming in right behind her. I'm sitting there and I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
You're freaking out.
I'm like gripping onto the seat.
What a great character he was.
Oh yeah.
84 that came out. Yeah. So you're about 13. Yeah. I'll tell you one thing, staying in Kitty Land, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, one of my favorite movies of all time, contains one of the most horrifying
the robot
scenes, which is the rowboat scene.
Yep.
And it's like all of a sudden Willy Wonka gets very spooky very quick. And then at one point there's a chicken that gets like their head cut off.
Yeah.
And it's shown like on screen. There's like bugs and all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's
you know,
it's
that's scary for a kid. That was a G movie.
It's a punishment for anybody who thought it would be fun to like take some drugs and go watch Willy Wonka. You know, because it comes in right at the moment where the ketamine hits.
Especially
and like,
if you're six.
Ah!
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing that on television. That really freaked me out. And Mr. Slugworth freaked me out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that he worked for Wonka. That was scary to me, Mr. Slugworth.
There used to be years ago, I forget the name of it, but we had a copy of it. Back in the early 90s, there was a guidebook to movies that you should rent while you're high.
Oh, my.
And at the back of the book, there was a section called The Bad Seed. Do not rent these movies when you're high under any circumstances.
Isn't The Bad Seed the one with the twins or something? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's a whole bunch of kids.
And one of the movies that they highlighted in there was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. They were like, you know the scene we're talking about. If you can skip past it, okay, but do not watch that scene when you're under the influence.
That's pretty good. Why don't we take a little break here? We did get a request for a song called The Reaper, but I can't actually find it. I believe the person's name was Andy Pratt, The Reaper. But give us
a chance. Oh, everybody's into Andy Pratt these days. I keep hearing about him.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find it. Is it called The Grim Reaper? Because I found The Grim Reaper. Maybe I'll put that on.
Is it Andy Pratt?
Yeah, it must be the same song that he's talking about.
Yeah.
I'll put that on for him while we take our break here. And then we'll come back and we will continue our discussion. It is The Real Horror Show with Derek Gary and Chris Searle. We're here with you until 7 p.m. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to your freeform station. It's WMFO in Medford. I have to say, remote broadcasts, I can get rid of my slurs and my speech impediments.
Yeah.
But when I'm in here, you know, live, and I'm spooked out by panthers crawling through the streets and attacking my dog, this has got to be gritty. It's going to be gritty.
I'm going to have to throw that in as one of the Friday Night Frights one of these days because that movie, you know, it's cheesy 1970s stuff, but that movie scared the heck out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah, I'd never seen it, so I'll probably watch that. I'm going to challenge myself, and this is going to be another segment that's going to start next week. I'm going to challenge myself to see a movie in the theater a week because I have this AMC A-list pass, and I never go to the movies anymore, and I'm like, I got to use it, especially because they're upping the price like they up everything. But here we go. I got the Grim Reaper here. Hopefully this is what my friend requested there that just called up a few minutes ago. Here you go. It's WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Real Horror Show. Thanks for listening.
Johnny is a soldier. Johnny wears a uniform. The Grim Reaper.